Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. We continue to examine the first problem that Paul dealt with in his 1 Corinthian epistle. It is the problem of divisions in the church, or cliques, we might call it, within the church. Paul begins to address that problem in verse 10, where he appeals to them to not be divided. I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. A general appeal, a general exhortation. He goes on further in verse 11 to explain that his information about the divisions in the church came to him from someone related to Chloe. We don't know too much about that particular individual, except what Paul refers to here in passing. But then he goes on to clarify in verse 12 what kinds of divisions he's talking about. And he says, each of you is lining up behind different preachers, different religious leaders and personalities. One says, I'm of Paul. Another one says, I'm of Apollos. Another one says, I'm of Cephas. And there are others who say, I am of Christ. At least four different groups who are identified here, and people are dividing in the church over their preferred preacher. Not an uncommon problem. We have to guard our hearts against that in our day, don't we? Let's all confess, all of us have different preachers that we like better than others. And of course, in Paul's day, it wasn't so easy to have access to a whole lot of different preachers, because there wasn't television, radio, and all the sorts of communication that we have today. But they had different preachers who ministered in Corinth. Paul, who founded the church, but traveling preachers came through. Apollos came through and preached. Peter came through and preached. And some people said, I like him. And somebody else said, I like him. And they were all divided over this. We have visiting preachers come to our church. We have generally a spring Bible conference and a fall Bible conference, and we try to bring in excellent, excellent Bible preachers during those times. And we want our people to like them, but we don't want people to say, hey, I like him better than, I like this one. I like the one we had in the spring better than the one we had in the fall. Why don't we quit having this one and start having that one? And I like him better, and oops, here we go. Or I like these guys better than my pastors here. And I mean, you can see the opportunity for carnality. It just breaks out all over. And that's what was happening in the Corinthian church. And so Paul addresses the problem, and we'll get back to it after I welcome you to this Tuesday, April 13 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and remind you of our need for financial support from our radio listeners. Well, as you may recall from yesterday, Paul begins to address the problem by asking these three rhetorical questions in verse 13. Is Christ divided? Answer, no. Was Paul crucified for you? Answer, no. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Answer, no. Now, we go on. He actually takes that last question as a springboard to expand a little bit upon this issue of baptism, where he says, were you baptized in the name of Paul? Which obviously nobody was. People are baptized in the name of Christ. They're baptized in the name with the Trinitarian formula, but it's always, it's in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, but it's always this identification with Christ. We are buried in the likeness of his death, Christ, and raised in the likeness of his resurrection, Christ. We're baptized in his name, not Paul's or anybody else's. But then he goes on to elaborate on that a little bit when he says in verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. Paul is saying, I didn't baptize very many of the members of the church in Corinth. I baptized Crispus. He was the ruler of the synagogue, the Jewish synagogue in the city of Corinth, who came to faith in Christ. You can read about that in Acts 18:8. And Gaius, he apparently provided hospitality to Paul and others. You can read about him in Romans 16:23. And he even goes on to say, yes, in verse 15, he says, lest anyone should think that I baptized in my own name. He's still elaborating on this third question, was anyone baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. And then he goes on and adds another one that he did baptize. Oh, yes, verse 16, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. Now, this is all very interesting. He's trying to remember, who did I baptize in Corinth? Well, there was Crispus, number one. There was Gaius, number two. There was the household of Stephanas. And then, I can't think of any others, he says in verse 16. There could have been, but I can't think of any others. And then the question is, well, does that mean that there were members of the Corinthian church who were not baptized? No. It means that others than Paul did most of the baptizing. And that shouldn't be surprising. That pattern started clear back with Jesus Christ, who we read on some occasions, Christ baptized people. And then we read later, though it was not Christ who baptized, but his disciples. It was the apostles who did the actual baptizing. But it was said that Jesus did, because the apostles did it under Christ's authority. They did it in connection with Christ's ministry. They baptized those who listened to Jesus preach and who committed themselves to become followers of Jesus Christ and were baptized in his name, but they were baptized by others. And the same thing is going on here. Others did the baptizing, but the point that Paul is making is that he did not promote himself. That we're going back to this problem of the cliques, the divisions. I'm of Paul, I'm Apollos, I'm of Cephas. Well, Paul says, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. Now, that's a very helpful statement, a very instructive statement, but it's also sometimes a misused statement, a misunderstood, a misused statement. I have actually heard people teach on the basis of that statement that Paul was changing his mind about baptism, and what he was saying in effect was, I'm thankful that I didn't baptize anymore because I've come to realize that baptism isn't important. No, that's not what he's saying. When you read something like that into it, that clearly isn't there, you sound like, you frankly sound like a cult leader, because this is the way the cults go about proving their erroneous doctrine, is taking snatches of scripture out of context and twisting them to mean what they clearly do not mean. Paul is not saying that he changed his mind about baptism. Of course not. He tells us why he didn't do it. He did it with a particular reason in mind, or he didn't do it with a particular reason in mind. Namely, he didn't baptize many people for this reason. Verse 15, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. It's another way of saying, I did this because I was not promoting myself and I was not trying to build a personal following. It would have been easy to do in Corinth. Paul was the preacher by whom all of the original Corinthians that were saved came to Christ, and apparently there were a great number. Jesus said to Paul, I have many people in this city. And Paul stayed there a year and a half and continued to preach, and those many people came to a saving knowledge of Christ. And Paul could have baptized them all. He could have had, and we don't know how many there were, but he could have certainly had dozens, perhaps scores, possibly, I don't know, even a few hundred converts in the city of Corinth who all had been baptized by the Apostle Paul. But he deliberately didn't do it, lest anyone should say, I had baptized in my own name. He wouldn't do that. He certainly wouldn't baptize in his own name. But there's this human tendency to become more enamored with the human instrument, the preacher that God uses to preach his word to you and to minister truth to your heart and to even, using God's word, bring life to your soul. There is a human tendency, it's a carnal human tendency, to make more of that human instrument than you should. And again, it's one of these issues where we have to be careful not to fall in the ditch on either side of the road. It's possible to make too little of those that God uses in your life, to depreciate them, to act as if they aren't necessary and they didn't really do anything, when of course they did. God always uses human instruments. And the human instruments that God uses, we should be thankful for. The Bible instructs us to honor those who faithfully teach the Word of God and to follow them and to obey them, to submit to their authority in your lives. These men are to be honored, but they are not to be overly honored. You can appreciate them too little, and that's wrong, but you can appreciate them too much, and that's wrong. You can honor them too much. And Paul said, I deliberately didn't baptize most of you because I was not trying to build a personal following. I was not trying to promote myself. I didn't want to have a big bunch of people in Corinth who I baptized personally and who all therefore coalesced around me and said, I am a Paul. Yes, I am a Paul. Yes, I am a Paul. We are all a Paul. Paul said no. All of the Corinthians were baptized believers. There is no indication of anyone who is identified as a Christian in the New Testament who is not a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, but Paul gave other people the responsibility of doing the baptizing. And as soon as there were others who could, he turned that over to them with an important intention in mind, namely, so that people wouldn't become overly attached to him. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.